terrible jam way down yonder in Vietnam. So put down your books and pick up a gun. I'm gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, like a two, like a three, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven, open up the pearly gates. My, ain't no time to wonder why we're all gonna die.
On 881, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. President Obama became the third sitting president to visit Vietnam. He landed there yesterday after becoming the first sitting American president to visit Hiroshima since 1945. And next month, on Father's Day weekend, Maryland Public Television will host a two-day event at the Timonium Fairgrounds to welcome Vietnam veterans from Maryland, Pennsylvania, and throughout the MPT viewing area. LZ Maryland will include exhibits and performances to recognize and celebrate the service of members from all branches of the military in one of our country's most controversial and divisive military interventions. This week, beginning tomorrow night, MPT will begin broadcasting a three-part series called Maryland Vietnam War Stories. Executive producer Ken Day and his team spoke to more than 100 veterans and others who were in Vietnam some 50 years ago and compiled their recollections into 3-hour-long shows that will air tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. Ken Day joins me this morning to talk about this big project. It's good to see you.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
So give us a scope of the research you did for this. Who'd you talk to? How many did you talk to? How long have you been at this?
We've been at it for about 3.5 years now. We had heard about a sister station up in Wisconsin doing this massive project called Wisconsin Vietnam War Stories. It got a lot of kudos from in the system. 3 hours chronologically told only with personal stories. And then we got wind of Mr. Ken Burns, as I call him, the high priest of public television, announced he was coming out with a mega series in 2016. On Vietnam, and we looked at each other, and me and Larry Unger, the president of MPT, and he said, you know what, I want to do a companion documentary, much like Wisconsin, and have it surround the Ken Burns piece. Well, now, fortunately, Ken Burns has actually rescheduled his big mega series to 2017, so we went ahead with ours. And essentially, I modeled it much after what Wisconsin did. They really were genius in how they constructed it. All the men and women who were there tell their personal stories. There's no narration. Why? If I had to write something, this war was so divisive, so it politicized the country so much that no matter what I wrote, I know the phone would ring the day after and say, hey, I was there, and that's not how it happened. But you can't criticize a veteran who's telling his or her story who was there. That was exactly what they did, and they broke it into 3 chronological periods, and we emulated it down to the T. The first hour is the early advisory years, when we were first arriving in the late 50s, early 60s. Then the escalation, we started sending the Marines in 65. Then the middle hour is really when we got up to 500,000 troops in 1968 and 9, and then those eventful battles happened that we never foresaw, the Tet Offensive, Quezon, etc. And then the third hour is the drawdown, when we finally decided, let's turn this war over to the Vietnamese, the Vietnamization as it was called, and turn it over and send our boys home. And of course, we all left in 73. That's the third hour drawdown. So in the course of that, I got some powerful stories, as you might have imagined. We found when you're using just the troops to tell the stories, you need a lot of them. You need all the people that were in the 5 branches. You need people that were in Rolling Thunder in the Air Force. You needed people on the boats in the Riverine War going up the Mekong Delta. You needed the poor grunts that went out through the rice paddies and into the jungles, the Marines and Army.
But you also had nurses, and you had people who weren't even in the armed forces, too, but people who were there.
Yes, because, and of course, we had the rear echelon, all the people in the back, the 9 out of 10 soldiers that supply all the bullets and beans to keep those other ones fighting. So it was quite a task to find them. We used a system that, again, Wisconsin developed. It was called the listening session, where we'd invite 15 vets into a room if they were willing to talk. See, the thing is with the Vietnam vet, these guys came back to such terrible treatment. People screamed at them, called them names, called them baby killers, etc., that a lot of them didn't want to talk, even 50 years later. But those who did came in, and then I let them tell me their stories. briefly, and then I invited 100 of those 250 from the 20 listening sessions in for a long-form interview.
And we'll, of course, have a link to the trailer of the show, and folks can tune in tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday to see it. Why this particular time? I mean, we're about at the 50th anniversary or so of our real involvement in Vietnam.
Sure. It is about the 50th. The first troops went in March of 65. This was really America's longest war up until that point, until Afghanistan came around. And so, you know, in this country, we do a lot of things on anniversaries. And 50 years seemed to be an appropriate time to take a look back. And what was interesting is a lot of these guys who finally told me their personal stories admitted that they had never told these stories to their wives, to their children. So they said, if I don't do it now, my story might never get told.
Yeah. So, is there a community of Maryland Vietnam vets that, you know, is pretty tight and it stays together? And
there are. They are in, of course, the various chapters. They actually formed their own VVA, Vietnam Veterans of America. There's a huge chapter, 451 in Dundalk. They have chapters all over the state. The largest one in the country is out in Cumberland. But a lot of them have joined American Legions and VFWs, et cetera. However, the reason they created those is because when they got back from this war, the World War II vets and to a lesser degree, the Korean vets were not welcoming. This was the first war that America had lost. And as one vet in the show says, and they never let us forget that. So it was not an easy time for all these guys. So we thought it was time for us, you know, because now I think the country collectively is a little bit ashamed for how we behave towards these men and women who went to this war at the request of the country and were maimed or, you know, 58,000 of them died in this thing. And yet when they came back, they were treated with disrespect and or totally ignored.
Mm-hmm. And there's, of course, continuing discussion about lack of services and bad services for vets of not just Vietnam, but even World War II. It's part of the political discourse, to be sure. Did you hear a lot of that from the Vietnam vets you talked to?
I did hear some of that.
We're talking about criticisms of the Veterans Administration.
I didn't hear really so much of that. Most of them were fairly content with the VA. I did have quite a number of Agent Orange folks come and sit opposite me and tell me their stories. And we do have a few very poignant cases in the film.
Yeah. This public event, real quick, we got about 15 seconds left. Tell us what's going to happen Father's Day weekend at the fairgrounds.
We're hoping to get 50,000, maybe 75,000 Vietnam vets and their families, but it's open to all vets as well. We're going to have music of the 60s and 70s. We've got the Association, the Loving Spoonful, the Detroit Motor Pistons, which is a Motown group. It's going to be really quite a great weekend.
So we've got the three-part series this week, and then next month, this event at the fairgrounds. Great. Well, Ken Day, always good to see you. Thanks so much.
Good to see you, Tom.
Ken Day is the executive producer of Maryland Vietnam War Stories. It's a three-part special that will air on Maryland Public Television tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. On Father's Day weekend, MPT will host a two-day event to welcome Vietnam veterans and their families. LZ Maryland takes place at the State Fairgrounds in Timonium, includes lots of exhibitions and performances. We'll have a link to all of this on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. That's it for us today. This special programming note, we expect a verdict in the trial of Edward Nero, the officer who is the second to be tried in relation to the death of Freddie Gray. We expect verdicts coming down sometime in the next hour when Judge Barry Williams issues his verdicts. We'll bring you live coverage of that decision with analysis of how Judge Williams came to his conclusions and what it might mean for the trials of the other officers that are scheduled to take place in the coming weeks and months. So stay tuned to 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station, for special live coverage of the verdict in the trial of Officer Edward Nero. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening to Maryland Morning. We'll be back with you soon with news from the courthouse in downtown Baltimore. Garrison Keillor's up next with the Writer's Almanac.